Well, you guys really like iPad minis. I wish I had one. That is a true statement. But you know what? I was talking to my brother Benjamin just a moment ago, and I think we have found a second iPad. That is true. A second iPad. Would anyone like a free gift today? Impressive. All right. So, I'm not going to give it to whoever jumps around the most. There's a logic to this. No. It would be like wearing a meat poncho and running around in a zoo if I just said, who wants an iPad mini? That'd be dumb. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, is there anybody in here who you've been a Christian for less than a month? Like you gave your life to the Lord within the past month. Is there anyone in the room that it's pretty new? I see a hand. Is that a hand over there? Yeah, I see a couple of hands. Stand up if you have been a Christian for less than a month. And let's clap for these people because that's pretty exciting. Okay. I see two. And out of the two of you over here, and I think I see some people over here, is there anybody, the lights are super bright, and they distract you greatly. Let me add that. So is there anyone here that you got saved in the last month, but you're also, this is your first time at Youth Quick Live? If so, stay standing. Okay. All right. If you're standing still, come up to the front, because we have a way that we're going to do this. Let's give a clap for these people. Okay, so if you guys would go ahead and stand here on the stairs, right here, and face everybody so they can see your lovely faces. All right, so here are 9 finalists. Okay, so here we go. I'm going to think of a number 1 through 10, okay? All right? I promise not to change it because I don't know any of it. Here we go. Nobody's allowed to get saved in the last month. Stay in your seats. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, I got a number 1 through 10, okay? I will let you each say a number, starting on the person on the left. Whoever guesses the number gets the iPad. 5, 6, 4, 10, 7. Was that a number that's already been said? No? Okay. 2, 8, 3, 0, 1. Okay, and I have no idea what number's left. Do you? 9. 5? Okay, 5 or 9. The problem is, it's number 2. It's number 2. So here we go. You guys are all, I know you're so close to an iPad mini. So what's your name?
David Bellis.
David Bellis. Everybody, David Bellis has possibly won an iPad mini. So let's give it up for David. And the rest of you guys that are up here, even though you don't get an iPad, we just want to say, I brought him up here so you guys can look at him because these are our newest family members. Everybody, let's give him a nice welcome to the family. All right. Yeah, let's give it up. Look at that. You guys didn't know you had so many people that loved you, did you? No, it's big, big. All right. Unless your name is David Bettis, you guys can go back to your seats, and we're so thankful for you. Dave, why don't you come up here, man, because I want to get to know you just a little bit better. It's David, right? David Bettis, great. All right, so where's Benjamin? Benjamin's over here with iPad. Why don't you bring it out for David? Yes, Benjamin is not single, in case you're wondering. He's dating another Youth Quick intern, so if you're about to graduate and looking for a future spouse, come talk to me. You can be an intern. All right. So, Benjamin, let's bring the iPad out so everybody can see that it is indeed there and it is real. Yes, there it is. Okay, so, David, I am making you a promise that I will give you this iPad. Do you want this iPad?
Yes, I do.
All right, and do you believe that when I make a promise, it's a good promise?
Yes.
All right, so you want this iPad?
Yes.
Well, of course you do. You haven't done anything to earn it yet, so let's make a deal. I'm going to keep the iPad because, I, like I said, I don't have one. I like them. I mean, not the mini one. This is pretty cool. And you are going to get to know my little brother Benjamin a little bit because we have a sofa right there. It's a couch, front row, just for you. And if you could, be a really good sport, be super encouraging because I get nervous, especially when that light's staring at me. And then I might get thrown off. So if you can be there and when I make a joke, you say, Blake, that's awesome, and just fake laugh, you might get an iPad. Deal? All right, cool. So everyone, David's going to take a seat on the couch with Benjamin. Actually, I'm going to keep it right here. All right. There's the iPad. Woo! This is going to be a fun night. This is going to be a lot of fun. So tonight, I'm going to talk to you just real briefly about a really simple concept. Just a really, really simple concept. There's a ton of empty promises going on in the world. Maybe you haven't seen it, but it's all around us. We're going to talk a little bit about it. There's tons of ways that we can try and escape the world. We can try and escape pain, different ways we can try and cover up the relationship pain that we have from maybe different things going on with our family or our friends. But here's the simple concept I want to talk to you about tonight. It's very simple. I believe that God is enough. I believe God is enough. He's enough for every need in our lives. He's enough. When you have enough of God, God is enough. And that's the concept I want to talk to you about. It's just this. God is enough when I have enough of God. Let's think about this for a moment. If you're the average American, so if you have a pulse, you live in the United States, congratulations, you're average. Today, you've seen about 5,000 advertisements. 5,000 advertisements in a single day. Everybody's promising us something. They say, hey, buy the car and you will arrive. Buy that perfume. Perfume commercials are my favorite. I have no idea why, because they're just kind of still ludicrous, right? I'm like, I'm watching it. It's like, buy the perfume and you can have any man of your dreams. You know, it's like, how can you actually promise that? You know, they're everywhere. If you watch TV, you might have noticed there's about 24 people that promise you they're the number one show on TV right now. Have you ever noticed that? It's like one commercial, like the number one show on TV. It's like, oh, cool, I'll watch that one. Next commercial, the number one show on TV. And you're just like, who's the number one? Everybody's making me this promise. I have no idea. I mean, right now in our country, we have so many empty promises going on. We actually have a government that's been shut down. I mean, empty promises are everywhere. There's bad empty promises. So we know things like drugs, alcohol. We talk to students all the time here at Youth Quick Live that are dealing with empty promises of self-injury or pornography. They're empty promises. They promise us something that they can't deliver. And if you haven't personally dealt with these things, I bet you know a friend or family member who has. People make us empty promises too, don't they? I mean, parents promise they'll stay together till death do us part. Friends leave. Boyfriends, girlfriends leave. But you know, it's bigger than that. Empty promises can actually hide inside of good things too. I used to think, man, if I could just get better at this sport, I'll finally earn respect. If I can get more friends, I'll become more popular, and then I won't feel so lonely inside. If I can get better grades, I'll finally like myself. If I can get accepted to my number one college, I'll have purpose in life. You see, by these things are good. They're by themselves. There's just nothing wrong with them. But we attach empty promises to them that can't ever actually fully satisfy. We'll never really deliver on what we're thinking those things are going to be able to bring into us. And we're not careful, we can step further and further away from the reality that God is enough when I have enough of God. God is enough. David, you're giving me nothing, bro. Am I doing good? Okay, all right. All right, man. Am I right on? Okay, I'm going to teach you a word. The word's amen. Amen, okay? Amen. It's a Bible word. It means you're doing good, okay? All right. It's not what it really means, everybody. I know I'm young and I haven't been to seminary yet. Don't discredit me because I don't know what amen means. All right, perfect. All right, so you see, an empty promise is anything that promises something that it cannot deliver. And there's tons of that going on all over the world. So, fantastic. You can't get an iPod, though. I only have one. I made a promise to David, and he's... Smile, bro, smile. There you go, good. All right, so... Here's the deal. So, David, let's say, like, man, hey, I want to give you $1 million. I promise I'm going to give you $1 million. I have an iPad. I don't have $1 million. That's an empty promise, right? An empty promise is I can't actually deliver it. And we get those all the time. We hear them from all over the place. Like, we watched a skit a little bit earlier today about the people who ordered the Chinese food and they got the cat, right? Like, the world can never promise what it delivers. It can't. However, on the other side of the coin, God always delivers on his promises every single time. Thank you. There we go. I love it. Amen. Beautiful. So here's the deal. God's enough when I have enough of God. You know, we saw that skit with everybody that was on the road trip, right? And it's that idea that God's promises is never empty. He said, hey, we're going to get there. And then they got there. Now, some of you still kind of look confused. I can understand that. I talk about 8,000 miles per hour. And so maybe to help break this down, I'm going to play a game with all of us collectively, okay? So here's the game that we're going to play. I'm going to show you a real-life commercial. It's an as-seen-on-TV commercial. And if by the grace of God and some miracle this company is still in existence, you can actually call them and order the product I'm about to show you. Okay, so I want you, as you're watching it, to use your detective eyes and try and define what is the promise that this company is making me. What's the promise that they're making me if I buy their product? Let's go ahead and take a look at this infomercial.
I used to hit the wrong keys on my phone all the time. I ain't mad at my phone, just a sign that I need to get a texty. Get a texty, get a texty, get a texty. It's an easy way to text, just put it on your thumb. Never thought that sending messages were fun till I got myself a texty. Got a texty, got a texty, got a texty.
All right. So, did you guys catch the promise, right? Apparently, I got taught horribly wrong about what dating the secret is, right? So, if I had known this, maybe I could have just not had to date my wife for 5 years. I could have just gotten a texty and bypassed the whole process, right? Like, something went terribly wrong. Dave, do you own any texties? You don't? Do you have a girlfriend? Maybe I should get you some texties, not an iPad? Okay. We'll work on that. Maybe we can do that. So here's the deal. I don't know about you, but can we all agree? Empty promises are everywhere. Can we agree on that? Absolutely. Thank you. I'm going to share with you a story. When I was 14 or 15, it was before I was able to drive, so 14 or 15 years old, I was at a friend's house for a birthday party. And I was in a situation where if you haven't been in this situation yet, you might be in the future. And if you have, you can relate. I was there at my friend's birthday party, and then as it was getting later, the parents left, and all of a sudden, just more and more people started showing up, and they were bringing with them, you know, drugs, bringing with them alcohol, and the birthday party kind of just morphed and evolved into something that I was like, I didn't know this is what I was signing up for, and that had happened to me a couple times in high school, and I had always made a commitment. I said, you know, I'm not going to drink until I'm 21, and just because I don't think I'm better than anyone else. That was just what I decided to do in my life, and I was like, I don't need that in my life anyway. And so when that would usually go down, I'd be like, I'm going to probably peace out early. My friend, he would go to, we'd hang out because he was my friend, so we'd go to a lot of the same different places. And I'll never forget this night. He was there drinking like a water bottle filled with vodka. And of course, you know, vodka looks like water. And so he's just drinking so much. Like he's trying to get himself way past drunk. He's just trying to just see how far he can push the limits. And I noticed that this was not the first time this had happened. You know, he would do this frequently, and I just remember looking at him on this particular night and saying, you know, Talon, man, I don't think you should do that. And that was 15-year-old Blake. You know, like now in hindsight, there's a whole lot of other things I wish I could say. Because, you know, later that night, Talon took his own life. And it's unclear if it was on purpose, I mean, or if it was an accident. And he had a gun and he ended up taking his own life. And so, you know, make it what you will. But I just remember thinking, man, that's such an empty promise to try and find something in a water bottle full of vodka. It's such an empty promise. And I remember feeling how numb it made me and all of our friends. You know, I'm sure if we went around this room, we could all share a similar story, couldn't we? I mean, we all have felt the effects of empty promises. All of us could probably share a story of a friend or a family member. And like I said, I wish I could say something different, but God, thousands of years ago, through the Apostle Paul, knew that empty promises were going to be an issue in my life and in your life. He knew. And so he told us in Ephesians 5:18 this: don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. That's pretty blunt, right? Like, don't do it. Instead, everybody say instead. Instead. You know, a lot of times God gets left out of this whole instead. So we tell you, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. But did you know, most of the time the scriptures will give you the correct choice to make. It's the instead. And this is the instead that's so incredibly important. Don't be drunk with wine, for that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, for those of you who might not have grown up in church and you're like, the holy hooey, here's the deal, okay? The Holy Spirit, it's God at work on the earth. It's God. And so what this verse is saying, don't fall on empty promise. Get more of God. Be filled with the things of God. Be filled with God. So God is always enough. He's always enough when you have enough of God. But are you filled with God? Because here's the idea. God's enough. He's going to wake up tomorrow, and he's going to be enough. He's still going to be good. He's still going to be the most powerful being in the universe. He's going to be God. He is enough. But do you have him in your life? Is he enough? Do you have enough of God in your life to be making a difference? Like, sometimes I talk to students, and you're like, man, I just don't feel God. I'm like, oh, man, tell me. What's a little bit about your life? And you're like, oh, well, I go to youth group, like, once every 2 months, and I don't really dig church. The music is kind of lame, and I don't really read my Bible, and all my friends bring me down. I'm like, you cannot tell me you have enough of God if that's your existence. You have settled. You have settled. And so I don't know if you've ever taken that first step towards God, say, fill me up, or if you said yes to God a while ago, but you just recognize, man, you have settled. It's not pursuing God, saying, God, fill me up, fill me up, fill me up. You've just settled. Do you have enough of God? Throughout the Bible, Jesus' disciples, they would meet together just like we are tonight. Lots of lights, dubstep music, skinny jeans, the whole deal. And they would all get there together. And the Bible says they would leave those prayer gatherings filled with the Spirit, filled up. The disciples, they had this thing figured out. They understood that it was a constantly, I got to go back and get filled up again. I got to go back and get filled up again. I mean, I don't know if you've done the things the disciples did, healing the sick. I mean, one dude, Peter, he was so full of God that he could walk by the sick. And if his shadow touched them, they would be healed. He didn't even have to touch them. It was just so much Holy Spirit. It was like everywhere. You know what I'm saying? And they understood that, oh, once I've reached that place, it's not like, oh, I have arrived. It's, I got to go back and get filled up again. I got to go back and get filled up again. Some of you, you're here tonight at Youth Quick Live because you know, I got to go get filled up. I got to go be around the people of God. I got to go to a place where they're going to speak life. People are going to be all around me. My weird uncle from across town I've never met is going to be able to encourage me because we're family. And God wants to fill us up tonight. God is enough when we have enough of God. We cannot settle. So David, there's only a couple thousand people here, but I need you to answer a deeply theological question for me. Okay, so I'm going to come down here so everybody can hear. This is a question that's been debated by some of the smartest and wealthiest people in all the world. Okay, so think about your answer very carefully, because there's a lot of people in the room. Coke or Pepsi?
Pepsi.
Pepsi.
Pepsi. Okay. All right, David. Nice. Nice. So I don't know if you agree, but David says Pepsi. Pepsi. Okay. David. By the way, you're doing a great job, man. You're smiling. I love it. I'm totally feeling the vibes. A little quiet. So if you could. All right, cool. Thank you. So here's the deal. Have you ever been really, really, really thirsty? I mean, like, really thirsty. Okay, so here's the deal. We all know. I'm assuming you know. I mean, you're a smart group. If you are dehydrated, is it a better decision to drink water or David's beverage of choice? Pepsi. Pepsi. All right. Pepsi, all right. No, it's water. Of course it's water. We all know. No. Have you noticed this, though? When you're thirsty, you're really, really thirsty. Everything looks good when you're thirsty, right? You're like, ooh, Pepsi, it's cold, delicious. I want Pepsi. We all know, though, that it's not the right decision. In fact, Pepsi has the reverse effect. You drink it, it makes you feel good for a moment, but it actually dehydrates you in the long run, making you thirstier than you ever were at the beginning. That's what an empty promise is. When you're desperate, not filled with the Spirit of God, everything looks like it could quench your thirst. Everything looks good. If I'm not living for something, I'll fall for anything. That's good. You guys should say amen. Amen. Fantastic. And we walk around because man, what am I giving myself to? That's what an empty promise is. See, God wants to come into your life tonight, and he wants to be like a big, huge glass of water. And to fill you up with his presence. Let's take it back to the very, very beginning. Have you settled in your thirst for God? Let's take it back to the beginning. Have you settled in your thirst for God? That's my question to you. So back in the garden, you have Adam and Eve. And we got a picture for you. I'm not going to tell you how long it took us to find a picture of them that was appropriate, but we have Adam and Eve on the screen. And you guys are fun. I love this. Okay, so they disobeyed God. Now, if you're unfamiliar with the story, here's how it works. God put them in a garden and said, you can eat and enjoy of anything in the garden, but you can't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Everybody say, and evil. Right? Because God didn't create us to know and evil. That wasn't what we were supposed to. So they're there, and then all of a sudden, there's this character that kind of comes in, and he's a serpent, which we later find out in the New Testament. It's the devil himself. And he says, hey, did God really say that? Did God really say that? And here's what he says in Genesis chapter 3. He says, you will not die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. David, would you listen to a talking snake? I don't think so either, man. I don't think I would listen to a talking snake. You know, here's the deal, though. We do it all the time. We do. We listen to the talking snake all the time. It says, hey, if you drink this, if you take this, if you watch this, and the snake sneaks into our lives, doing the same thing he did to Adam and Eve, bringing in an empty promise that's going to steal. He does it today. See, the devil promised Adam and Eve that they would be like God and not die. But you know what? The reality was they were already like God. They got to walk around with him. They had no sin. They were holy. They were already living for forever. And so the devil comes in and promises something that they already have, and he takes away the very thing that he said that he was going to give them. Am I speaking to anyone today? Like, this is what we fall for, isn't it? Like, we are so susceptible to this. But God wants to come in, and he wants to fill us up. Fill us up. Because you got to be filled with something. If you're not filled with God, you're going to be filled with an empty promise. And here's what happens. Sin is an empty promise, and it will take you further than you wanted to go. It keeps us longer than we wanted to stay, and it costs us much more than we ever wanted to pay. This is what empty promises and sin do in our life. So what's the promise that you believe? What's the promises that you believe? The promises of God or the empty promises of this world? See, unlike Adam and Eve, I believe and I pray that today would be a day where you would believe that God is enough. When I have enough of God, God is enough. See, when you have a God-given promise for your life, it's so easy to say no. If you're not saying yes to something, then why would you say no to anything? Here's what happens. Let's say I want to look like, I don't know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, okay? So let's say I want to look like Arnold. I don't know why you guys are laughing. I'm totally built for this. I can do this, all right? So I want to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. So I say, I believe I can look like Arnold. I have a vision for my life. So that means I've said yes to something. Did you know that that makes a whole lot of no's already answered for me? Blake, do you want the extra slice of cake? No, because I've already said yes to something. Hey, are you going to hit the snooze alarm? No, because I've already said yes to waking up to work out. Hey, Blake, are you going to be lazy today? No, because I already said yes to something of meaning. See, when you have something that you can say yes to that's purposeful, then making the no's is so simple. It's not about who wants to live their life running from stuff, saying no. No one wants to. We're not, as believers, we don't run from the wrong things. Jesus killed and conquered sin and has redeemed us. We get to live our life for a purpose and on meaning. And when we do, all the no's are made for us. They're made for us. It's kind of like the Brave skit, you know, with the arrow and everything. That's a good movie. You know, here's the deal. If you get a vision for your life, then why would you ever want to escape this world? Because you've been sent to transform it. You have. When we understand what God's calling us to and the purposes that he has for our life, we don't want to escape the world. No drug, alcohol, empty promises. I don't want to escape the world. I've been sent to transform it. I'm not gonna vacate it. God's got a role for me. He's given me an assignment. And you might not even know God yet, but guess what? He's got an assignment for you. He wants to move through you to transform lives. You got to believe it. It's not about saying no to a list of bad stuff. It's about saying yes to something of purpose and meaning. Oh, man, I don't even know if I should go there with you guys. David, what do you think? Go there? David says go there. Let's go there. All right, here's the deal. How in the world could you ever be filled with the Spirit of God when you're watching porn every night? How in the world could you ever be filled with the Spirit of God when you're looking to your friends or a boyfriend or a girlfriend as your ultimate source of hope? How in the world could you ever be filled with the Spirit of God when you're thinking, oh, if I can attain something like a sports team or good grades or this or that, then I'll have meaning. Those things are all by themselves meaningless. Those only can come from the Holy Spirit. And you're going to be filled with one or the other. You are. You're going to be filled with empty promises, or you're going to be filled with the Spirit of God. And my call to you today is to say, we can do this. And some of you right now, you're looking at me with your like beady eyes. You're like, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And you think that you really can't do it. David, not you. You're doing great. But everybody else, man, you're just looking at me right now with these eyes. And here's the reality. You honestly think that you can't stop doing something. Some of you, you're here. You're so trapped in it, so far deep in it, that you're just like, I don't know if I can do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. Listen, Miley Cyrus is wrong. You can't stop. You can't stop. I don't know where we got this idea. Like, and we can't stop, and we won't stop. Get filled with the Holy Spirit, and you can stop. It's that simple. Amen. Amen. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask our cast to come out. I recently got introduced to one of the most incredible ladies I've ever met. Her name is Julie Steeles, and she's has a remarkable story. And in Christian circles, if you're new to us, we're awesome. I hope you stick around and join the fam. But we have this word we call testimony, like testimony, testimony. What's your testimony, right? And testimony, it's got the word test in it. I don't know if you noticed that, test. And you don't get a testimony unless you have a test. And so we're going to share a story. It's a testimony, a woman who has gone through a whole lot in her life. And what I want you to do is, as you're listening and you're watching our cast give this testimony and kind of illustrating it for you, I want you to just remember that, you know, God is just as powerful today as he's ever been. And I'm going to show you a story. And if he can do it in this woman's life, I promise you, he's the same God. He can do it in your life too. And so I'm going to ask our cast to go ahead and illustrate the story of Julie for us.
My name is Julie. This is my story. I was born with severe medical issues. Most doctors thought I would soon die after birth, but I didn't. As I grew older, I began to experience more and more complications with my health. I had numerous surgeries, several of them major. By the time that happened, I had been struggling with drugs and alcohol for years, and it was a losing battle. Throughout all this time, though, I was married. My husband and I had one child. His name was Tyler. He was our pride and joy. However, my marriage was falling apart, and through the cloudiness of addiction, I didn't know where to turn for help. I felt so desperate, and I felt so hopeless and lost. My marriage was becoming more unbearable by the day. So, to get away from all my problems, I took Tyler and ran away across the country.
So I'm going to pause the story real quick because I don't want you to miss this, because sometimes we can get really lost and, oh, that's not my specific detail. Oh, I didn't do that specific thing. But, you know, let's make it bigger than that. I mean, what's the empty promise that you believe, that you are struggling with and hoping and praying that tonight that God would come in and just change everything like a flood? Where is that? Your struggle, like Julie's, might not be with drugs or with alcohol, but where is it? And I want you to try and see yourself and find yourself in this story.
I always knew I needed God in my life, but I had no clue how to actually find him. For a little while, I would take Tyler and myself to a small church in our new town. I got baptized, but nothing changed. For about a month, I would stand in the parking lot hoping someone would invite me to lunch or talk to me or give me some answer. But every Sunday, people would smile and wave and get into their cars. I was so desperate. So I got back into the cycle of addiction. Then my husband found me again. We went through a very bitter divorce and custody battle. I became panic-stricken. So again, I fled, and I took Tyler with me, this time across the border to Mexico for 10 days. When I was coming back, I was taken into custody and Tyler was taken away from me. That was the last time I saw my precious son.
And the cast is going to keep telling the story second half in just a moment, but here's what I want you to realize. Did you guys catch that? I mean, she was at a church. She would stand in the parking lot just waiting for somebody to come by and say, hey, do you want to go to lunch? Hey, did you know Jesus loves you? I see you could use a friend. And, you know, there's Julie's in our youth ministries and in our churches every single week. They're there. And maybe you're here tonight and you feel like you're Julie. You feel like maybe you don't fit in. You feel like you don't belong. I want to help you zoom out a little bit. Everything that is going on right now in this moment, we're doing it for you. Everything. I mean, you don't see it. You don't necessarily know. But we've come in. We set up. I mean, some guy set this light up. His name is Dean. Some girl, she prayed for the exact seat you're sitting in right now. Her name's Justina. There's hundreds of volunteers. Our whole cast, they've been praying for you. We've been preparing for you. Everything that we do at Youth Quake is for you. We do it for the Julies. If you feel like you're the outcast, you don't fit in, you feel like you're too far, too hopeless from God, that's what Youth Quake Live's all about. And here in this place, you have purpose. Hebrews 13:8 says that Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. And so I'm going to show you the second half of this story, and here's what I want you to know. The same God that you're about to watch redeem this is alive and active, and he's here in the room right now. And he wants to do a similar thing in your life. He wants to come in and transform you from the inside out. So as I watch this, as you watch this, Lord, I pray that you would begin to move on hearts and drawing all people to yourself.
After that and a few other things, I became so hopeless. I didn't care if I lived or died. So I packed my bags and moved to Mexico. My goal in Mexico was to not let myself get sober so I wouldn't have to face reality. My life was consumed of drugs and alcohol, and all my friends dealt. While there, I got sicker and more addicted to drugs. Soon, I even had the Mexican Drug Task Force raiding my house. Deep down, I knew hell was what I deserved. After all this, I finally became so overwhelmed with grief at the person I had become. Desperate, I cried out to God, and I asked him to become the center of my life, or I'd be lost forever. The next morning, I woke up. I didn't think God had heard me. So I strapped 4 pounds of methamphetamine around my waist, and I drove to the Mexican border. At that moment, I felt the presence of God surround me. So I walked up to the customs police, and I turned myself in. There I was, in prison, possibly facing a life term. I felt so helpless, so hopeless, and so broken. I had failed so much in my life. How could anything ever turn around? But during the first week of my incarceration, a small group of women volunteers came into the prison. One of the women came over and sat down in my bunk. She looked at me and smiled. And she said, "Do you know how much Jesus loves you?" Tears began to stream uncontrollably down my face as she told me about the forgiving heart of our Almighty God, a God who wanted desperately to change my life, even after everything I've done. So it was there, on my knees, in front of a cold metal bunk, that I surrendered my heart and my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. It felt like an enormous lead weight had been lifted from my heart. And from that day on, I was forever changed.
Well, if you guys want to hear something amazing, that was pretty amazing. But Julie's actually here with us tonight. Yeah, and so I'm going to actually have her come out right now. And can we just give a round of applause to God for what he's done? I mean, so Julia, I hope it's okay. I want to ask you a couple of questions because I know your story can probably connect and relate to several teenagers in the room tonight. First of all, did our cast do a good job of telling your story?
They did an awesome job, especially when I saw the open jacket and the bags of meth. I was just blown away. Yeah, they did. They captured it.
Good. Well, but in case there's anyone here right now and they're watching their story, your story, and they're identified with it, and they said, you know, That's really me. Pretend like you could go back in time and talk to teenage Julie or to talk to them tonight, what would be that one thing that you would want to say to really be able to communicate and to get across?
I would say that the world is indeed full of empty promises and alcohol and drugs, and it looks so good. Sin can look so good, but it leads to death. It leads to emptiness. And if somebody would have just said, Julie, all you have to do is give your heart to Jesus, and you will have hope, you will have purpose, and a destiny that is greater than anything you've ever imagined.
I'm sure you could relate with this question. Someone here, it happens every time we do a Youth Quake show. We tell people about how much God loves them and how he wants to change their life, but they say, no, not me, not me, not me. I'm too far away from God. And I know you felt that way too. What would you want to say to anybody that right now they feel like it couldn't be for them? They're just too far away from God.
I would say that God's arm is not too short, that he can't reach down into the pit that you think you're in and grab you out, wash you off, clean you up, set your feet upon a rock, and give you a brand new start and a brand new life. God wants to change your story tonight. He wants to rewrite your story.
Man, let's give it up for Julie one more time. This is just an awesome thing that God's done. I'm going to have the band come back out right now. And, you know, if you want to talk to Julie, she said, you know, she's going to hang around right about here after our show today. If you want to come up and say hi, give her a hug and whatever you want to do. But, man, Dave, what did you think about that? It's a good story, right? It's powerful. Well, I want to share with you just a handful of verses, and then we're going to wrap up tonight and worship God. That's going to be fun. I love getting to be with you guys and worshiping God. There's two verses I want to show you. One is Psalm 145, verse 13. It says, "The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does." And the second verse is this, Numbers 23:19. God is not a man. He does not lie. He's not a human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? You know, tonight, someone here, you're afraid of God because you're thinking that he's going to react like a father or a mother or someone who's failed you in the past, but he's not like a human at all. He's so much better than that. And I believe that you're going to find God is enough when you have enough of God, and he's going to fill you up tonight. Did you know there are 3,573 promises that God has placed in his word for you? 3,573 promises that God's placed in his word for you. And you might be thinking to yourself, yeah, that's great, but it's not for me. It's for somebody else. But that's not how it works, man. That's not how the promises of God work. I'm going to share with you one last scripture. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. There are 3,573 promises, plus all the ones that God wants to make to you if you get to know him in your quiet time. And they're all yes because of Jesus. It's like this. David, you did nothing to earn this. You didn't earn it. You honestly didn't say amen a whole lot. But man, it gives me joy to be able to give you this as a free gift. Welcome. You know what? Jesus is in the room right now. Some of you were freaking out about an iPad mini, which has no eternal significance whatsoever. And the king of the entire universe is in the room right now wanting to give you a free gift and fill you with his Holy Spirit. You cannot earn it. You cannot be good enough to earn it. You cannot be bad enough to lose rights to it. God is in the room and he loves you. He loves you deeply and passionately, and he wants to fill you up with his Holy Spirit today. So I'm going to ask you guys if you would stand with me. And there might be a couple of different ways that you might need to respond. For some of us today, you have never taken a step towards Jesus and said, hey, I want to give my life to you. Never said, I know that I have sin in my life. I can't do it on my own. I want to follow you. And you're going to need to come down to the front in just a moment, kneel at this altar, and say, God, I pray that you would fill me up. I don't want to be full of empty promises. I want to follow you. A second group, you're here. You may have made that decision before, but you know that you have settled. You're not thirsty for God anymore. You're not pursuing him. And you just want that so bad to be rekindled in your life. You just need to come down to the altar tonight and say, God, fill me up. I'm sorry for settling. Fill me up, just like the disciples. I want to come back to you. Fill me up. Fill me up. And then this last one, you know, usually at Youthquake, we just kind of do those two because those are important. But as we've been praying for this show, there's been something that's really, really heavy on our heart. And here's what I want you to hear. Some of you tonight, you think that because of the failings of a parent or a grandparent, that's going to become your reality. Alcoholism, drug abuse, whatever. And because that's in your family, that's going to be...
Tell everybody to make sure they turn on their vocal mics.
That's an empty promise from the devil. The truth is that God can come in tonight, make all things new, and it will be our honor to pray for you, to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and to start a new So I'm going to ask you to do something very, very brave. If you need to give your life to Jesus, if you need to come back home, or if you want to come down and just receive prayer saying, I'm afraid that what's happened in my family's past is going to happen in my life, and I want to come in faith and say, Jesus, I pray that you would take that. We would love to pray with you. And I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to ask you to do something brave. I'm going to ask you to step out of the aisle, come up here, kneel in front of the stage near this altar. We're going to worship a song together. And you don't need me to lead you. I just want you to come down here and say, God, fill me up, fill me up, fill me up. We're going to sing a song. It says, Spirit, lead me. Spirit, lead me. And let that be your cry. I'm going to count to three. One, you know if you need to respond. Two, three. If you need to give your life to the Lord and be filled with the Spirit, come down right now. Anybody else? We're going to wait. I mean, this is a life-changing moment, a life-changing opportunity. You need to come give your life to the Lord. You recognize you settled. You want to be filled up with his Spirit. You want to be prayed for from one of our adults. Very good. Awesome. Well, I'm going to have our band lead us in a worship song. And, you know, Youthquake leaders, if you want to come and pray down here at the altar with us, that'd be great. And for those of you down here, man, let's just sing this out together and just say, Father, Spirit, lead me, lead me, lead me, lead me.